At age 7, he stepped onto a wire after the great Carl Wallenda put a balance pole in his grandson Tino's hands and taught him the art and precision of tightrope walking. At age 12, he made his first crossing on a wire 35 feet off the ground, and at 17, Tino became a full-fledged member of the Wallenda troupe. Since then, he's walked over lions, tigers, and man-eating sharks, walked between buildings, over rivers, and a waterfall, and his highest walk was 179 feet over Denver, 3,300 feet in length. On Saturday, Tina will walk over Uptown Circle, 70 feet in the air, to celebrate the town's circus history and its 150 celebration. Tina Wallenda, welcome to GLT, Sound Ideas in the Town of Normal.
Well, thank you. You've told the whole story, so now we just sit here and look at each other.
I have questions, believe me.
Okay.
And I hope our listeners do, too. They can call 309-438-8910 with questions about life on the wire, preparing for a tightrope walk, or the greatness and some of the tragedy associated with the Wallenda family name. Some people, especially those with a fear of heights, probably want to know why. Why do you put yourself at risk to entertain others?
Well, it's a family heritage and tradition. Of course, the family, the Wallendas, have gone back. My website says back into the 1780s, but the truth of the matter is, having received our family tree and being able to examine that, it's more like, it's not quite that far back. It's only back into about the 1815, 1820. So it's still about 200 years.
Sure. And why do you do it?
Why? Well, growing up in the business, watching my family up on the tightrope was always something that I felt that I wanted to be part of. And it's just sort of been a gradual progression in those years, but now it's just my lifestyle. The bottom line is, it's not about I enjoy any kind of a thrill of being on that tightrope. You mentioned that I did a wire walk 180 feet in the air in Denver. And those are not necessarily the type of walks I like to do. I enjoy doing tricks, performing for an audience, and I'm a performer, an artist. And the joy that I receive is from the applause of the audience. And that's why I'm here in Normal.
And why do you think spectators enjoy this kind of entertainment? Is it the I can't look away dynamic?
There's, of course, that. But if you weren't looking, then there'd be no point for me to get up there. There's some people that come for some kind of a thrill. They think maybe something will happen. But from my mindset, after the fact, they generally come up and are amazed that the agility, especially old guy like me, because I'm not a young man anymore, although I sound very young on the radio.
we all sound young on the radio.
So, but it's just a pleasure of performing, and they appreciate it's a completely family type of atmosphere, and we're traditional circus performers, so we go back in the years, and families are what we desire to perform for.
That's Tina Wallenda visiting the town of Normal to celebrate its circus history and the town's 150th anniversary. You can join this conversation at 309-438-8910. Can you tell me about the preparation for the walk on Saturday, 70 feet above Uptown Circle? What has to go into that?
Well, it's not only that. At 12 o'clock and at 2:30, we're going to be doing our regular performance, which is, of course, like I said, my preference. But we're also going to do a Ohio to walk over the, what is it called, the circle?
Yeah, Uptown Circle.
Yeah. The preparation for that has been going on, but Saturday morning is when we actually will assemble that. The cranes will arrive, and we'll stretch the cable. We have to put some guy ropes on the cable, which will be manned by Gamma Phi performers. To keep the wire steady so it won't sway back and forth from side to side. Those are basically the the preparations we're going to have to go into.
So not as much as I would have expected.
Well, it's easy to say. It's a lot more when you actually come down to it and then get the cable, the tight enough. I'm not going to say the right tension, but tight enough, and to get the people holding the ropes there to, it's a simple job, but they need to be observant and understanding of the dangers that, potential for danger that there is there.
Sure. Do you want a little bit of give in that cable? Does that help the walk?
There's no way you cannot have any give. There's nothing. A steel rod still bends over that length of passage. No.
Okay. So what about mental preparation? What are you thinking before you step off that platform and onto the wire?
It's more of the what I've built into. I've been walking the wire now since I was 7, 58 years this month, so I'm 39 at the moment. but you gain a confidence in your talents and your abilities. And I believe that there are abilities and talents that I've received from God above. And I believe that each one of us, that God gives these talents, he wants us to develop them and to use them. So that's what the Wallendas have been attempting to do all of our careers.
Mentally for you, or maybe even physically as well, is a walk 10 feet up or 100 feet up different?
Absolutely. Yeah, we practice on a wire that's 10 feet off the ground. And on that, we're very comfortable. In fact, we make the wire a little looser than it would be in a typical performance. We make it maybe a little bit shakier than it would be. We push the limits a lot more at that point. When you get up 25, 30 feet in the air, it already makes a difference. And then if you're going to take it up to 70 feet or 180 feet, it's a profound difference. It's kind of like standing on the edge of roof of your home, which would probably only be, well, in where I live in Florida, they're all ranch homes, so you're one floor.
Sure.
I mean, you can look down
10 or 15 feet up.
You're pretty comfortable.
Right.
But you get on the top of the Hyatt and look over, all of us would take a step back.
Sure. How wide is the cable? And does that vary based on the length of the walk?
No, our family and performing history has, well, way back when used to use rope, so mm-hmm. it was pretty heavy duty.
Hence the phrase, tightrope.
Tightrope, yeah. And then early on in my family, they were using 3/4-inch cable. We've modified down to 5/8, and sometimes we even might use a 1/2-inch. But the cables that we typically walk on, what we'll be walking on this weekend, are 5/8 of an inch.
And do your feet actually sort of grip that cable in any way, or are you really just walking on top of it?
Some people think, and there are some wire walkers that they kind of try to grip the cable between their big toe and that next foot. But the truth of the matter is, the mechanics of it is your balance. Part of your balance, there's three components to balance. I don't want to get too involved here.
No, I'm interested. What are the three components?
Well, there's your inner ear. Mm-hmm. There's touch. What is the third one? I'm trying to think what they are. I'll come up with it. But the one, your big toe is very important about how you balance. Otherwise, when you read in biblical things where they used to cut people's toes off, the big toes, mm-hmm. is because you can hardly walk if you don't have your big toe. So we lay that big toe right on top of the wire. That helps us with balance. Oh, vision is the third one.
Okay. And the big toe sort of leads you across that and your vision. And yeah. Where are you looking on the wire?
There's a point on the opposite end. You generally look at the opposite end, and you gain your focus from a solid and an unmoving point. Because, again, if you are if you're out in a field looking up at the clouds and they may be quickly moving by, you may be a little dazed and begin to falter, and you may even fall down. But if you have a solid point to look at that doesn't move, that's where the vision comes in, where you get your balance.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Mike McCurdy in the studio with Tina Wallenda. You can ask your question at 309-438-8910. Can anyone with enough training do what you do, or do you think there's been something passed on to you from your family's 200-year history in the circus?
Well, I would. That is true, but it's not genetic. Everyone has a different level of what they can do. Anybody could actually learn to walk on a tightrope, and probably at any age. You might have to unlearn some things about balance, about how you actually walk, but pretty much anybody can. Now, the level that you can attain to, that's a whole different ballgame. There may be some natural aspects to that, but training is the number one thing. Practice.
And what is your training regimen like today? After having done all of these walks and being known for all the things that you've done, what sort of training do you still do?
I can coast a little bit because of 58 years of doing it, but it's kind of like riding a bicycle. If you've ridden a bike, you can pretty much get on a bike. But if you were doing tricks, like when I was a kid, I remember used to be standing up on the back seat and riding without my hands and things along that line, crashing into other people. We used to play...
You joust on a bike?
Yeah, and crash, and I don't know how many times I broke my head. But of course, that's aside from the issue.
That can't help your balance very much.
No, not too good. That's maybe why I'm a little bit lame brain nowadays. But if you don't ride a bike for a while, you'd probably be able to ride it again, but you're not going to be able to do any of the ride without hands or anything. So it's the same thing with wire walking. I need to maintain it, and when basically the rehearsals that we do are when we're home, not when we're on tour.
And your family's history, you alluded to this, not genetic, but what you get from your family being passed on from generation to generation, that is useful.
That's right. That's right. I'll tell you, the most important thing that I've gained from my family is especially from my grandfather, his heart as a performer. I mean, he lived to be a performer. His two big things that were so important to him were first his family and performing. And I learned how a performer is supposed to act. And not so much about how to walk the wire, but attitude, presentation, emotionally, how to deal with things, and also to be around people.
He was a mentor of yours.
Absolutely.
And we're talking about the great Carl Wallenda.
Right, and he still remains to be the patriarch of the family, even though he's long gone since 1978.
Right. Tell me about your grandfather and some of your memories of him.
Well, he was very comical. And again, like I said, he really was very much a family person. When I got married, and about a year or so later, my wife and I went off on our own to do our own thing, mm-hmm. our own performing. And you would think that maybe since he was the great master, that he would be a little bit jealous of me breaking away. But no, he came over and helped me. He gave me some equipment to use. In fact, newspaper article, he sort of anointed me as, a Wallenda, which is whatever you might determine that to be.
These kinds of acts are sometimes billed as death-defying, but in truth, death is not always defied. The Wallenda name is known not only for great successful walks, but also for those that failed, including the walk in Puerto Rico that killed your grandfather.
Yes.
What is it about the use of safety equipment that the Wallendas sort of steer away from? Why not use a tether or a net?
Well, there's really two answers to that, but originally, I don't have a lot of time to get into it, but our family came to the United States via Cuba back in 1928 when John Ringling came.
You're going to talk about the Madison Square Garden performance?
Well, yeah, but John Ringling made a special trip to Havana to see the Wallendas. And the funny thing is that the owner of the show, Santos Circus, every time John Ringling would show up, he would take the Wallendas out of the program because he was afraid that he was going to lose them.
Sure.
So John Ringling, in fact, snuck off of the ship and supposedly on his way back and came back and bought a ticket and sat somewhere in the wings to see the Wallendas and instantly hired them. Well, the result was when we went to Madison Square Garden, which was the opening engagement for the Wallendas Ringling Brothers, they discovered that there was no net, which probably the owner of the show was somehow suspicious about not sending that part of it,
didn't send the net.
So the Wallendas performed without a net. They decided to go ahead. And back in that time, you didn't do tightrope walking, high wire walking without a net. They were such a sensation that night that it stopped the show for 15 minutes, unknown to my grandfather and the rest of the team, because they heard the stomping, the feet, and the whistling, and that was highly insulting in Europe. So as they came down to take their bow, they just ran right out of the ring.
Oh, they thought it was a negative response.
They thought they were being booed, essentially, and they were trying to figure out how they can get back on the boat and get back to Germany because they were a flop here in the United States.
But part of it is tradition, because that first performance at Madison Square Garden was done without a net.
That's part of it.
What about today?
The other part of that is that you develop a false sense of security by using a net. And so we find and we feel that if you're going to do your best to train and to be on top of the situation so that you can face any issue, whether it's wind, rain, whatever.
Your 2005 book, Walking the Straight and Narrow, Lessons in Faith from the High Wire, actually lists 30 lessons. What are a couple of the most important for all of us to remember?
Wow. Well, the biggest one is about focus. Life is about focus. And wire walking, you focus on that point. That's one of the most important things that my grandfather taught me to do. In life, you need to focus on a goal, and if you'll focus in on that and you persevere and you find something that you really enjoy doing, something that, like I really enjoy being a performer. Mm-hmm. I've done other things, and I really am happy that I'm back in this niche of performing. So if you focus in and try to develop to the best of your abilities. I can't understand how you would not be a success at something. And just quickly, going back to the thing about the Nets, mm-hmm. There was a time I did a commercial for a company called CBN at one time for financial planning. And on that, I needed to fall into a net, which I did literally dozens of times as commercials goes. Well, when I got back to the performing arena the very next week, I got on that wire and there was no net anymore. And I'll tell you what, I was scared to death. It took me at least a week of performances before I overcame that.
Really?
Yeah.
And another quick lesson. I asked for two out of your book.
I have to read my book again. I'm sorry.
All right. So besides the 70 feet over Uptown Circle, that walk, there are two other performances, one at noon and one at 2:30. Quickly, what are those?
They're the whole family. Okay. My daughter Aurelia, my son Alex, my daughter-in-law Claire, and myself will be riding bicycles, standing up on chairs, and doing pyramids.
Tino Willenda, thanks for your time today. I'm looking forward to seeing the walk on Saturday and some of the other performances.
Thank you for having me.
Tino Willenda is part of the famed high wire troupe, the Flying Willendas. He steps onto the cable over Uptown Circle on Saturday at 5:45. That's after a sesquicentennial ceremony led by Mayor Chris Koos. You can find a complete list of Uptown events this weekend at the town's website, normal.org. I'm Mike McCurdy. This is Sound Ideas.